reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Ladies and gentlemen, today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast will be a recent message on prophecy preached from the pulpit of First Conservative Baptist Church. FCBC will be delighted to send you Dr. Youngblood's book, Panorama of Prophecy, free for any size donation for this radio ministry.
Turn in your Bibles to Matthew 24. That's our starting point. And by the way, some people have asked the question, why should we study prophecy? What is the rationale, the reason that we should be interested in, concerned about prophecy? Let me just give you as briefly as possible two or three or four things before we study the text today. By the way, this was the Panorama of Prophecy of that title. It was done the first time from this pulpit in 2007. It was a three-hour message at that time. I have done this same outline 16 weeks, 3 hours a week in the college setting, in the lecturing on it and teaching it verse by verse as we look at the overview of what we call the Panorama of Prophecy. That happens to be in a book out in the rotunda. I know the author pretty well. The Panorama of Prophecy, and it covers more in depth than is possible from the pulpit today, but four or five reasons to study prophecy and to know prophecy. First of all, it gives spiritual light and understanding in the Word of God, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. It reveals God's plan. Amos 3:8-3:7 tells us, brings blessing. And by the way, it's the only book in the Bible, the book of the Revelation, where there's a promised blessing that God promises to bless us for those that read and study and adhere to the Revelation text. It strengthens our faith when we see prophecy being fulfilled. By the way, the prophecy of Jesus' first coming, about 331 things in prophecy about that, all have been fulfilled. That should give us encouragement to realize, as in John 14:29, strengthens our faith when we see prophecy being fulfilled. And fourthly, we find that it encourages the watchfulness for Christ's return. Matthew 24:42 reminds us of that. Stand if you will, please, out of honor and recognition of the reading of the Word of God. We're going to read chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24. We're going to read the 31 verses in the chapter. Now, I'm not going to preach the 31 verses. It's setting the stage of where we're going in our message and our lecture and our study today on the Panorama of Prophecy. As I read audibly, follow with me in your Bibles silently. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Verse 3 now is the key to what is found in the balance of the text in chapter 24. His disciples ask him a question. Three-part question, and the Lord Jesus answers it in the balance of the text. And he sat upon the Mount of Olives, and disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of the coming and of the end of the world. And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For a nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended. By the way, this little word scandalon means to cause to stumble and fall, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee unto the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them with child and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh to be saved. But for the elect's sake, these days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, are there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christ, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will be the eagles gathered together. And immediately, verse 29 and following, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the signs of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds in heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heavens to the other. Thank you, and we may be seated. Let me remind you, as we study prophecy, many times there are those that will say, well, we're living in the day of the seventh trumpet, or we're living in the time of the fifth seal or the seventh seal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Let me just give you a little brief thumbnail sketch before we get into the meat of what I want to talk about even today. In the book of the Revelation, it's all about seeing the Lord Jesus Christ. For those that have heard me any time in the past less than 100 years, you know that I like to see what is correct in the book of the Revelation. It's not Revelations. It's the book of the Revelation. It's the Apocalypse. It's the revealing of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Revelation chapter 1, we see Jesus revealed. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, we see Jesus in the churches. Revelation chapter 4 and 5, we see Jesus on the throne. Revelation 6 through 18, we see Jesus in the tribulation. Revelation 19, we see Jesus in his return. Revelation 20, we see Jesus in the millennial reign. Revelation 21 and 22, we see Jesus in heaven and throughout all of eternity. That is the Revelation text. It's the revealing, the unveiling of the Lord Jesus Christ in all of his grandeur. Savior and all of His glory. We find in the book of the Revelation there are 21 judgments, the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven bowls poured out successfully. When we look at the book of the Revelation, we find in chapter 1, verse 4, it talks about and from the seven spirits before the throne. And I have to touch on this at the beginning. We'll get to that sooner or later. But I find most of those that are preaching on radio and television that are world renowned, they simply copy what somebody of yesteryear said about the seven spirits before the throne, the seven zoos, the living creatures before pros in front of the throne. And 99.99% of the preachers today will tell you that seven spirits before the throne is a reference to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, talks about the sevenfold manifestation of the Holy Spirit. When you look at Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2, you find even if you do a disservice to grammar, you can find only six statements in relationship to that verse. There's not any place in the Word of God where you find the Holy Spirit standing before pros in front of the throne. No place in the Scripture will you find any reference to the Holy Spirits. And that text in Revelation 1:4 says the seven spirits, plural, before the throne. Holy Spirit is singular, not plural. So when we look at the Scripture, this is the point that I make with digressing at the beginning and talking about that. When we look at the Scripture, Scripture interprets Scripture. The seven spirits before the throne is talking about the sevenfold manifestation of the seven spirits, zoos, angels, standing before pros in front of the throne, waiting with bated breath to pour out your bowls, to blow your trumpet, to be obedient to what Jesus Christ, which is on the throne, gives them directions to do. So as we study prophecy, man has always had some deep, deep interest in the future. Man has always wanted to know what the future is about and what's going to take place. By the way, let me just simply insert this: Tucker Carlson does not know. We'll talk about Mr. Tucker in a moment. Men's always had a deep interest in what the future holds. There seems to be a natural sense of curiosity and hunger and yearning to know what's going to take place in the future. As a result of this hunger, as a result of this curiosity, we have the so-called prophets today that will attempt to satisfy that human hunger with what I would call simply mythology and not true biblical theology. Some of these charlatans have set dates, calculated and postulated, and come up with dates and figures. The cult called the Seventh-day Adventist, they have come up with a number of dates. The Mormon Church has come up with some dates. Jehovah's Witnesses come up with, over the years, come up with five, six, seven different times that Jesus Christ was supposed to return. The last time, according to the Jehovah's Witnesses, Jesus came back in 1975. When they were challenged about that, they said, well, he did come back, but he came back as a ghost, as a phenomenal figure, and not as a real figure. That's the reason we've not seen him, but Jesus Christ has already returned. No, 10,000 times no, but yet we've still had those that will set scenarios and dates and events. Although none of these have been successful in setting the dates, they've nevertheless been very successful in making a profit on selling books to deluded, anemic Christians that buy them, believing that somebody's found something that nobody else has found in the Scripture, that they've come up with a date and time. Most of them will tell you that Jesus Christ, if he's coming back because of the blood moons or because of this, that, or the other, they'll set a time sometimes in September, generally, that's when he's supposed to come back. Between the 6th and the 13th is usually the dates they will try to set. So when you find something that's saying that, you know it is worth buying. If you buy the book, it's worth wallpaper on your bathroom wall, and not anything else. But we have a lot of folks that will do that today. The Bible is God's inspired, infallible, inerrant word. The Bible is accurate in all of its prophecy. God is the only one that's able to tell us the future. God is the only one that can give us evidence in the Scripture as to what he's going to do in the future. Because God is sovereign, he's in control of the future. He controls the future. Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10 says, I am God, and there's none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done. That's God speaking. There hundreds and hundreds of verses and texts and chapters in the Bible giving us clear, detailed prophecies concerning the future. We want to do an overview, a survey of these prophetic texts as relates to the coming and the culmination of this old world and the eschatological prophecies found in the Word of God. We know the end is near. The Bible tells us that. We can look at Matthew 24 and find all of the signs. That word sign is simeon, means roadmaps. Road markers. When it's freezing weather in those parts of the world that suffer that, there'll be a sign that says ice on the bridge. That's a road marker. That's a sign. That's a warning of what's ahead. So when we talk about prophecy, it's the warning signs of what God is going to do. We look at the text we find in Matthew 24 text. We find it talking about wars and famines and diseases, distress of nations, pestilences, earthquakes, etc., etc. We see false religious religions today increasing. Those that will tell you that, I have understanding of the scripture nobody else has. We have today a proliferation of false prophets today, which should show us that part of the signs is being. By the way, I find it fascinating when you look at Matthew 24 that we just read, starting verse 4, the very first thing that we find as the first major sign of the last days are false prophets, false teachers, false Christ. And we find that today proliferating more than ever before in our world's history. In fact, in 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 16, talks about the departure from the faith, the demonic teachings, the divided, the deluded false doctrines, and the falling away in the faith. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 17 tells us in the last days that we'll see those that are self-centered, self-gratifying, self-willed, greedy, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unnatural affections, ungodly, uncontrolled, and unloving. That identifies culture today. We know in the last days it's spoken of in the Bible, and we can expect it. If the Bible says it, that settles it, whether we understand it or not. The Bible says that it'll get worse and worse. I've used the term, the Bible says it's going to get badder and badder and not better and better. And that's exactly what we see taking place. In fact, the eschatological prophetic text in the scripture, Matthew 24 and 25, Luke chapter 21, Mark chapter 13, all of those are dealing with the same subject, a little different nuances in the discussion of it. And in Luke 21, 28, it reminds us, look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Today we're seeing the signs and the shadows and the scenes, the curtain time is about to take place. I've used the term many times in the past several years. We're witnessing and watching the chessboard with God putting the chessmen in place. We're looking through a curtain, very thin, and one day that curtain is going to open, the chessmen are all in place, and God's prophetic calendar will start. It was Dr. Adrian Rogers many years ago that said, if you want to know what's taking place, look at Israel. He said, Israel is God's hour hand. Jerusalem is God's minute hand. Watch what is happening in Israel and in Jerusalem, and particular in that part of the world today. You want to know what God's doing? Watch Israel. Keep your eye on Israel. For the first time in the world history around us, we're seeing the signs coming together in the nation of Israel. I don't think that I've ever seen a time in my lifetime, in the less than 100 years I've been preaching the Word, studying the Word, analyzing the Word, presenting the truth of the Word of God. I don't believe there's ever been a time that we're seeing all of the signs coming together at one time as we're seeing now. In fact, we could look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh. That could take place, and it's called the rapture of the church, and we could see that anytime today, even before this message is concluded. History will show us, based on the signs that we're seeing, the coming together. Russia now pulling together her five nations. Now, let me just pause for a moment. We'll get into this. This, by the way, is still introduction. Ezekiel 38 and 39, Russia will lead a five-nation coalition against the nation of Israel. And we see those nations today. We'll talk about that during the course of this message. We see those five nations that today, at this very moment, are following Russia. Russia is the one that will lead those five nations to come against the nation of Israel. May I say to you, Putin is angry. Putin is aggressive. Putin is anxious to carry out the task. He didn't realize it, but he's God's puppet that will be used in the last of the last days of what we call biblical prophecy. Iran, that is old Persia, developing nuclear weapons until recently, when America finally grew a spine under the leadership of Donald J. Trump and went in and bombed their nuclear sites. May I say to you, and we'll talk further about it, may I say to you that Iran, old Persia, is the key element that we find in the prophetic text even today. Most are not aware of the fact that Russia has been basically using Iran as a puppet for years, just as in Syria, just as in Libya, just as Germany today is totally dependent upon Russian oil, just as today in Germany, 51% or better of its people and the leadership, especially in the military, are Islamic jihadists. And I can go further as we get to that point and talk about it today. May I say to you, we find the United States of America in the position today that God is using to clean the clock in the nation of Iran. But listen carefully. I'll put this in as a little young blood parenthetical footnote. We will not wipe out Iran. Iran is still in the last of the last days global picture of what we see eschatologically, prophetically speaking, especially in Ezekiel 38 and 39. We'll clean house. My most humble personal opinion, the Shah of Iran's son, that's now in exile, will be the one that will come into position of the in the leadership role of Iran. It is my opinion that they have already made that decision behind the scenes. May I say to you that he will try to lead the nation of Iran, bring it to some point of what would be called democracy, but it will not work because they will still follow Russia in the future to come against the nation of Israel, according to the Word of God. I can say that dogmatically because God's Word never fails. God's Word is never wrong. There's not an error in the Word of God. God didn't make a mistake when he gave us the Scripture and had to go back and somehow revise it, change it, modify it, and update it. Last time I had an account of it, we had about 483 versions of the Bible. 99.99% of them are not worth the paper they're printed on. And paper is pretty expensive today. May I say to you, we're witnessing what is taking place in Russia. We're witnessing what is taking place in Iran. The global jihad, if you will, the Islamic march for world domination is on the march today, and it has never ceased for 1,400 years. We've been witnessing that. China is now controlling America through economic future. China is threatening America, Iran threatening the world with its nuclear power that it thought that it had, and I personally think still is available to them. Let me just share several articles that I believe would be pertinent at this point. Headline, Russia has provided Iran with information that can help Tehran strike U.S. military. Russia has provided Iran with the information that could help them in other assets of the region, according to two officials from officials familiar with the U.S. intelligence matter. Russia is directing Iran on what to do, when to do with the information as the U.S. and Israel continue their bombardment and Iran fires retaliatory salvos at American assets and allies in the Persian Gulf. Headline, very similar. Russia's decision to provide Iran with data for its satellites and other intelligence underscores the widening geopolitical fallout from the war and could carry potential risk for American ships, aircraft, bases. What this is saying, if you read the total article, even now, Russia is providing Iran with information about where American assets are located in all of the Middle East. As you might know, right now, Iran has all of its internet system and all of its technology in that realm shut down by American ingenuity. They're depending on Russia to tell them where we are as a nation, American assets, if you will. Headline, are Russia and China helping Iran in the war against America? The Iranian foreign minister said Russia and China have always helped us. Iran, but declined to reveal details about their role during the ongoing war that's taking place at the present time. Headline, Russia has built significant political, military, and strategic ties with Libya. Over the last decade, especially since the country fell in chaos in 2011, the overthrow of Muammar Gaddafi, today Libya is one of Russia's most important footholds in all of North Africa and the Mediterranean area. Most are not aware of the fact that that little nation that's called Libya is a, if you please, puppet for Russia. Syria is a puppet for Russia. Iran is a puppet for Russia. And I could go on and on and on. Here's a headline. Iran threatens to bomb Israeli nuclear facilities. Now, I don't know if you've read anything about that. If Iran decides to do that, it's Katie barred the door, if you please. If they do that, and by the way, as I'll say later in the context of the message, with the Scud missiles that are being rained upon Israel from Iran, all it'll take is one to be off target and wipe the Temple Mount clean. Look up, lift up your head. Our redemption draweth nigh. Headline, this is in America. Dearborn, Michigan mosque holds a memorial service for the martyr Ayatollah Khomeini, accused of the U.S. of worshiping Satan. The very mosque that the now mayor of New York attends, and as he attends, the imam in the Islamic prayer, praying that America would be destroyed, that we are the infidels, and asking Allah to wipe America off the map. May I say to you, as we look at what is taking place on the global stage, before I have even opened the scripture and see what God is saying, the U.S. is now trying to force Israel to come to a divided point. Some people think that it's okay to have a divided Israel, two-state solution. Every president, including President Trump, believes that that is the potential for the nation of Israel. Let me just read you what Ezekiel 37 says. Ezekiel, for those that are familiar with it, is the Valley of Dry Bones. It's where there was the prophetic text where God said that Israel would stand up and he'd put sinew and meat and skin on the dry bones. That took place with the fulfillment of Ezekiel's 37 prophecy, May 15th, 1948, when Israel became a nation after being in diaspora for 2,500 years. The only nation on the face of the globe that's ever come back to existence after it fades out. But in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 25 and following, the scripture is very, very clear as to what will take place and what God is doing. I'm sorry, verse 21 and following. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathen, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side and bring them into their own land. Verse 22, Ezekiel 37. And I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king over them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided in two kingdoms any time any more at all. Period. God said it. I'm satisfied with that, that a two-state solution is not the solution. God says that Israel shall not be divided anymore at all. Then when we look at what is seen in Daniel, the 7th chapter and the 8th chapter, the little horn, that's the Antichrist standing up and seeing what is taking place. I believe the Antichrist, according to Daniel chapter 9, 11, and we look at 2 Thessalonians and Revelation 13 and Revelation 16, I believe the Antichrist is alive and well in the world today. If you'd say, Mr. Whatever, do you believe you're the Antichrist? He wouldn't know what you're talking about. But I believe the Antichrist is alive and well. And God, at the appointed time, will stand him up and bring him forth. And he will rule the world with an iron fist, according to Revelation chapter 13, verses, 1 through 18. And most people go to the 18th verse where it talks about the 666. and count that as being the major prophetic text. It's not. That's the summation and the culmination of what is happening in the 13th chapter of Revelation. As the world seen today, simply awaiting the rapture of the church to take place. God has got it on the calendar, and the rapture of the church is going to take place. And when the rapture of the church takes place, the Antichrist will step forth and be seen, be heard, and be powerful as never seen on the face of the earth. It's already set. The global clock is already in motion. But may I say to you, he will have great military powers, talking about the Antichrist, according to Daniel chapter 11, verses 31 through about verse 42, left page, the right column, and the right page, the left column in my Bible. When the Antichrist comes to on the scene, somebody said just recently, I found it fascinating, found online, somebody asked the question, will the Antichrist be gay? No, he won't be gay, he'll be a sodomite. According to Daniel chapter 11, he will be a homosexual.